Good evening, everyone. This is the regularly scheduled semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board National Finance Committee. My name is Tracy Rosenberg from KPFA, and I am the chair. And we will get this meeting underway. R. Paul Martin of WBAI is our secretary. R. Paul, could you call the roll?
Okay. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Campbell Johnson. Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. Barbara Whipperman. LaVarne Williams. Bruce Wolf.
Here.
Okay, we have seven. That's quorum.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. A draft agenda was sent out. Let's see. It was sent out on August 8th at 8:46 a.m. I am going to make a suggestion to it because it is a fairly long agenda that we may want to flip over item 6 to the upcoming meeting in 2 weeks on the 23rd because we have two divisional budgets to look at, and I think that might be plenty for tonight. So I leave that for the group, and if someone would like to carry that amendment forward, I think it might be a good idea.
Wait, I'm confused. What do you want to do?
I want to cut item 6 from the budget, from the draft agenda, because I don't think we have time to do it this evening.
Okay.
And basically remove it or postpone it to the 23rd.
Oh, so 6 is 6.
Yeah, yeah, item 6 was our 9-month financials review, which we do need to do for each signal area, but I think trying to start that tonight is craziness, and we probably are not going to be able to do it.
You had two parts of item 6.
Yes, the closed session part would remain on the agenda. The open session part would be dropped or postponed for 2 weeks. So let me make that as a motion, and then to approve the agenda.
Actually, since you're proposing the whole thing, you can
LaVarne
propose
here.
It without number 6.
What?
Say that again, R. Paul.
Since nobody has made the motion but you, you can make the motion as you please, and if you leave off number 6, that's the motion.
Okay. Then I am making a motion to approve the draft agenda with items 1 through 5 in open session and item 6 in closed session.
Tracy, I didn't get the agenda. When was it sent out again?
It was sent out Monday morning, August 8th, 8:46 Pacific time, so about 10:46 your time.
From you?
Yes, to the National Finance Committee at yahoogroups.com. Called draft agenda for 8-9 meeting.
So I'll find it on the Yahoo group.
Okay. I am happy to read it out loud as amended, if that will work. Maybe I should go ahead and do that for the stream as well. So item 1, to approve the draft agenda, which we're now doing. Item 2, approve the 8-2 draft minutes. Item 3, the Houston divisional budget to approve or modify. Number 4, the WPFW divisional budget. We'll be starting our review of that this evening. Number 5 is a brief budget process update from WBAI. And then we will be having a brief closed session to conclude the meeting.
That's
LaVarne's the proposed
here.
Agenda.
LaVarne's on the call.
Hi, LaVarne.
Hi.
So are there any objections to that agenda or draft agenda?
No. I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, Part 6 open and Part 6 close are unrelated in some way that makes them, or they were misnumbered or something?
They're misnumbered.
Okay.
It should have been 6 and 7. It just became 6 and 6 because it was 8:46 in the morning.
Now I'm not confused. Okay, we're good.
Okay. All right. Are there any objections then to the draft agenda? Okay. Then we will consider it approved. Our second item is to approve the draft minutes of our last meeting, August 2nd, which was a long meeting. R. Paul sent them earlier today. Is there a motion to approve those minutes? They are open session only.
So moved.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. Sounds like the minutes are approved. With that, we're going to move into the Houston Divisional Budget. We did most of our review in the last meeting. We asked for a couple of modifications. My understanding is that those modifications have basically been applied. The updated version of the budget was sent out on the listserv twice today, so everyone should have it.
I just reformatted. Sorry.
Yeah, let me just finish, then I'll go right to you. So what I'm thinking is that we might want to hear a brief presentation from one or more of our Texas reps and perhaps LaVarne as well about, you know, what changes have been made since last week and how they address the issues that the committee brought up. And then we can have some discussion and hopefully a vote. So let me start with Jim, who I guess is the LSB treasurer, and then we'll go to Bill and LaVarne if they have stuff to add.
Okay, the two main issues that we had from last meeting was request that revenue be increased by $25,000, and then the increase in the election expenses for the station, so that they would be consistent with the 2011 or 2010 actuals. And looking at bottom of page one, what we did was put $1,500, that's line 66, LSB elections. We put $1,500 in each of August and September to bring it up to a $21,000 for the year, which was within shooting range of the 2010 amount for the elections that was the actual for KPFT. On the revenue side, we want to increase it by $25,000. Instead of adding another another day fund drive, we're going to send out a mailing, and that is the line 8 for 5001. We have in there the $6,000 for the mailing. And the $4,000 we put in for the corporate match, we had set that much lower than it had been in the past. So we put in $4,000 for the corporate match. And what we talked about before on the line 10, community events, special events, had increased that $15,000 because we were at a $65,000 to date of this year, and we expect to get more than $65,000 next year. The only other change, we had the reduction in CPB, and then there were, for some reason, I think it was more that there were some formulas that kind of kicked in. There were small amounts, $13, $2, $100, on lines 130, 132, 133, that are just small amounts that really de minimis and don't have much of an impact on the budget itself. But the main increases in revenue are the $4,000 for corporate match, line 6, $6,000 that was increased for the mail fund income. That mailing will go out in the spring. $15,000 for community special events. And the increase in the expense for LSB election, line 66, which was $1,500 for August 12th and September 12th.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. That was very thorough, and I appreciate the attention to all the points that the committee brought up. Bill, do you have anything to add?
No, I think Jim covered it, and I haven't talked to our GM since this was changed, so Jim knows better than me, but I'll go along with what he said.
Okay. LaVarne, do you have any additional?
I I did talk with Dwayne, and it's exactly as Jim has outlined in terms of, you know, just the minor things directed by the committee, and those are the things that were put in there. So, so Jim sums it up very nicely.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Okay, well, with that, this is open for discussion or motions from the body of the committee.
Arpal.
So I guess I'll take a stack. I heard Arpal. Anybody else?
Bruce,
okay. Okay, you're up, Arpal.
Mine's pretty fast, I think. So the bottom line of net income, net loss, surplus deficit is $9,513 for the year?
Oh, that's correct.
Okay. A question regarding the template, I guess, here. I'm seeing one of these, I can't remember which one now. I think I remember seeing one budget that had it as, okay, yes, okay, you have it up here. But before central services, income loss. Okay, so that line is just, on this one, that line just doesn't have anything in it. But I guess, all right. I guess some of the template things are done a little bit differently from place to place. So 9,513. So that's from your experience. Is that? I mean, that's very thin, obviously. And so, is it likely that you'll probably end up sort of a little bit in the black as opposed to a little bit in the red for this fiscal year? For that fiscal year.
Well, in most of the revenue categories, we were conservative all the way down the line.
Okay.
Another aspect of this, if I can find it.
I'm mostly plumbing here for, you're confident you're going to come in the black on this thing, really?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a conservative budget for KPFT.
Right, thank you.
Okay, we'll go on to Bruce.
Okay, Jim, just a quick question. So you, where you made increases in revenue, did that also mean that you had to up expenses to account for, to some extent? For, you know what I'm saying? In other words, you know, for the mailer and for the, I guess it was community events.
Okay. In the community events.
So there is an offset of both income, the revenue, and expenses for this.
That's correct. The one difference from how you characterize it in community events,
mm-hmm.
when we set revenue here, we were looking at the net revenue we've made this year,
mm-hmm.
community events, and that we are, our net revenue should not have any problem coming in above $65,000.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't include the cost.
Right.
Okay, so we feel real comfortable with that. As far as the mailing, that's pretty well locked into what we already have in the budget for our mail-outs.
Okay. All right. It's great.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to be on the stack?
Yeah, I do. This is Kim. I kind of piped up before, but I was on mute.
So we didn't hear you. Okay.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
I'm a little kind of confused, not confused, but concerned about this community. Right now, you have, for FY11, 44,000. And last year you did 45,000. So I'm not sure where I see like a new 20,000 coming out of that. And I don't know what you have planned for July and August and September. So you might come in a little higher than last year. But no, I don't see a 20,000 or, you know, $15,000 jump.
To date in 2011, we're at $68,000. And we still have several events coming up later in the summer.
Well, so, why does it say on here $44,000?
That was a budgeted amount.
No.
We've been very, very active in community events this year. And we're
Column AC?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
column
a budgeted
AC is budgeted
amount.
Not actual.
That's not actuals.
Well,
but we thought we were going to make $44,000 this year, and you've already made $68,000.
Oh, in that case, okay, fine. Okay, fine.
But with the expectation there'll be more coming in this year, so we feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. I mean, I just saw, yeah, okay. So they don't have the actuals on here?
No, not on that page of the template they don't. Okay. Is there any further discussion on this from anyone?
This is Barbara. I should say I joined at a quarter of.
Campbell's been on for a while also.
Is Charlene coming on?
Or Paul, can you put all of that?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, folks, so we are taking a look at the revised team budget that was emailed out on the 3rd.
You're very faint, Tracy.
Sorry. Jim gave us a presentation on the changes and adjustments that have been made since last week in response to the concerns the committee brought up. At the moment, we are discussing those.
I move to accept the budget from KPFT.
Okay.
Who made the motion?
Ken, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that will be the modified version 6 of the budget that we received.
Right.
Okay. Are there any objections to a motion that would go, basically the wording would be the National Finance Committee recommends to the Pacifica National Board the assumption of the KPFT FY 2012 budget version 6. And that would be made by Ken. So are there any objections?
Okay. I'm writing it here. The NFC recommends to the PNB the assumption.
The adoption. Sorry, the adoption. Adoption is the right word. We adopt budgets. The adoption of the KPFT FY 2012 budget version 6. All right. I don't hear any objections, so I think that Houston wins the race. You're the first non-archived budget through the NFC. Congratulations.
All right, thank you.
And this budget and the archives budget will definitely be presented to the PNB on the 24th. And I'm hoping that at least one more budget will make it there, but we'll see. Okay, so with that, a bit early. I was hoping for 6 o'clock, but it's only 5:50, which is great. We're going to turn our attention to Washington. We do have a draft budget that has been sent. So, Bruce, the first question that I have for you is, are we going to have the GM or the business manager as a guest?
They were invited to attend. I don't know if I didn't hear anything specific.
I'm here, Bruce.
Be here or not.
Bruce, I'm here. Robert.
Oh, I hear Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Yay.
Bruce,
hey.
I'm here. It's John.
And there's John.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, let me introduce
okay.
everybody. This is John Hughes, the general manager of WPFW, and Robert West, the business manager of WPFW.
Well, we are delighted to have you both here. Thank you. I'm sure Deb will have lots of questions for you. Since this is a brand new budget, I think what we're going to do is allow the LSB treasurer to sort of present it to us. Bruce had already written up some fairly comprehensive notes. But if you could go ahead and kind of summarize those again, then we'll ask the other WPFW parties if they have anything to add, and then we'll start discussing.
Before we continue, as a point of information, has this budget been approved by the LSB?
That was the first thing I was going to state. is, yes, this budget was presented to the LSB on August 3rd and reviewed and approved by the LSB by a vote of 9-1 with no abstentions.
Thank you.
Okay. I've left my, okay, so this is our budget for 2012, and this budget is has to meet, besides the regular operational needs of the station, it's also meeting some of the unique needs of this coming year, primarily the relocation, which includes all the moves and the upgrading of equipment and all the ancillary things like that. And that's had to be dealt with in this budget. And I think just to start off with, I wonder if maybe it would be better if I open this. Okay, you'll note that this is a balanced budget, something that we weren't sure that we would be able to achieve, but we did. Though it is a zero-sum budget. You know, we don't have any surplus showing, but that's, again, when you consider the extraordinary costs we're going to have, you know, coming out with a budget, too, would have been a lot to ask. Which doesn't mean, by the way, that we're not going to be aiming for raising more money than we actually spend. Let me say this. So we have three sections to this budget: the revenue, the operational costs, and then what we call the capital, income, and expenses section. Now, let's start with the revenue, and if we look at that, you're going to notice that we are projecting somewhat higher revenues in certain areas than we've done recently in the past. This is both because it's a necessity and we have to, but it's also because we feel that in the past few years that we've been underachieving in some of these areas, and we are going to be aiming higher this year. So in major donor, for instance, by the way, let's look at that major donor, $130,000. This is basically aiming to replace what we know we're going to be losing from the CPB money. That money has to be replaced somewhere, and we're going to be doing it with major donor. We have presently a major donor committee, which is going to be working on this, plus other strategies we have for raising higher amounts in that area. And I'm going to go through this quick because John and Robert are here to really answer any specific questions. Community special events, you're going to see, you know, a much higher goal that we set for ourselves. And this is something that an area particularly, and again, our general manager can speak to this, but this is an area where we feel that we need to and must, you know, raise a lot more money than we have in the past. And then the other one was the, what am I forgetting? I had this down so pat the other day. But anyway, we've adjusted for the grants. Oh, boy. Website, we are hoping to achieve a little bit more in that area as well. We have a brand new website, and we're pushing in that area, too. Now, the revenues as we have them are basically, these revenues were in the first section, are meant to essentially meet the needs for our operational costs for the coming year. And like last year, we watch as closely as possible where we're going to be spending money. There are some increases in expenses, particularly where in development and in administration, because in order to raise more money, we need to be spending some more money. So, for instance, I'm going to skip down to development. We're expecting to spend more in direct mailing, in the cost, in promotional costs. We also are, you'll notice in premiums, we're going to be spending just a little bit more, but we're hoping we're targeting our premiums better. And but these are, again, in order to increase the amount of money that we're bringing in, we have to spend something. There's also going to be some money spent for some consultants under administrative, the first line under administrative. There's a large cost we have here for consultants. But again, these are partly some consultants in helping with the issues relating to the move, but also relating with IT and with promotion and marketing, which we need in order to raise the money we're hoping to raise. And I know I'm going through this quickly. Then the last section of our budget, though it's actually listed, I suppose it's right here in the middle, is the capital expenses and income. What we did here is we had an idea of what was going to be the cost of the move and a couple of other things. We were paying for the spare transmitter, and also there's some money dedicated to repaying the Heath bequest. But most of this money that you see, $750,000, is estimated for our move. And what we've done is shown the income that we expect to need to raise in order to offset those costs. And we've got those in three sections. The first section, the campaign for growth, that is money that actually will be coming out of, you know, all of our other revenue streams together. We call it the integrated approach, but the idea is on top of the money needed for operational costs, we estimate we need to raise another $400,000 towards the move. And then, move my thing here. And then, scrolling my screen. Okay, and then restricted grant money. We have $200,000 in a restricted grant that we've actually been holding in a bank account for a few years now, and we're hoping to leverage that for additional grants and major donations that will come in, or perhaps other income towards the move. And that this restricted grant is for a new building or moving, and that's what we're going to use it for. We're hoping not to spend the $200,000 itself. And then the third item, bank financing, is what we know we're probably going to need to do to fill in what we can't raise by other means. And our business manager has already been looking into that, to what is realistic for us to borrow if we have to. Let's see. So I know I've kind of just run through this.
It's okay.
But I have a feeling that we should get a lot of questions. When we answer the questions, it'll be easier to target, what people want to know.
Thank you so much,
you
Bruce.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to go to – I do want to, leave time for questions and answers, because there will be some. And, of course, it gets late on the East Coast first. But let's start by going to our guests, since they've joined us, and then we'll go back to Campbell, who is the other Finance Committee member from WPFW. So, John Hughes, do you have anything to add or anything that you'd like us to take into
sure.
account as we consider
and
this
thank
budget?
You. So, thank you for the invitation to present, and I want to thank Bruce for all of his mighty work that he put into over the last days and months preparing for this presentation. I would submit that as much as anything, our fundamental objective is to ensure a strong financial foundation for WPFW. We've had As you all know, we've had some challenges over the last couple of 3 years, and it's all of our determination to get back on strong financial footing. To extend Bruce's point regarding our fundraising efforts, this budget does reflect WPFW's determination to meet its full fundraising capacity. And as Bruce mentioned, this includes the implementation of four full on-air fund drives during FY 2012. As you may or may not know, was WPFW's, in WPFW's history, there were, or recent history, there were effectively only three full fund drives, and presentation of what has been or is described as a mini drive that occurred in August that did not have much yield to it. And so moving forward, our determination and, frankly, our strategic determination is to conduct four full fund drives, the first of which will occur in December. And correspondingly, this budget reflects the cost of presenting and commissioning those four full fund drives, along with, as Bruce mentioned, the implementation of what we're describing and committed to as an integrated fundraising campaign that takes into account several fundraising platforms that we've been planning around, in addition to the on-air drive, and those include a determination to present a more full major donor effort, fully ticked out major donor initiative for the station. You can see that we've substantially ticked up our plans and determination to do increased special events. Embedded in that is our determination to for this station not to be moving forward, not to be casual in our commissioning of special events, but it takes on a different approach and more determination to yield revenue around special events that we're commissioning for this fiscal year. We've made a commitment, a strategic commitment to plan giving campaign. And this is a new initiative for WPFW, but it's one that we're feeling confident that there are there is a financial yield, and we have planted a flag in the ground and are moving, intend to move forward with a dedicated and focused plan for plan giving. And then finally, we intend to be very aggressive moving forward this fiscal year with an initiative that involves mapping and segmentation of our donor files. With the intention that with a very focused and thorough strategy and game plan, that there is a yield within our donor membership files that the station has not enjoyed in the recent past. It's our determination to do the required research and evaluation of what our donor files can and should yield by way of determining what level of gifts might be increased, what we're, for instance, be able to better yield by way of more strategic and or focused mailing, and what we might be able to realize in terms of greater yield connected to the two previous revenue platforms that I mentioned, major gifts and planned giving. The as Bruce mentioned, the heavy lift for us this year, obviously, is the preparation and implementation of our transition to a new facility. And we're really at the point now where it's really reached the point where we have to we've got to engage a move with respect to not just the plans, but the actual physical move, because the facility that we're in is scheduled to be demolished in a year's time. And so there's no financial treasure that is sitting in a line account at this point in time, other than what Bruce mentioned is a $200,000 restricted gift that is going to support the preparation for the move, inclusive of all architectural plans with respect to the build out of the bricks and mortar, and also the actual physical move of moving equipment, some measure of equipment and technology and the like to the new facility. Additionally, there is the requirement for us to prepare and implement the transition to digital technologies, including the rebuild of WPFW's IT infrastructure. Our current IT infrastructure, in short, is broken. And so it affects us substantially every day with something as fundamental as the assured receipt and or sending of emails, but it certainly ripples through our operation with respect to our broadcast reliability, and certainly we, coupled with the current reality, have to prepare an IT or build out an IT infrastructure with respect to the new facility. And not the least of which is a requirement to build out the new facility with digital technology. All of our current broadcast technical platform is completely analog, I would say, with the exception of a couple of devices. And it makes little sense to travel broken and or insufficient and or obsolete equipment from this facility to a new location. And so the requirement for re-equipping ourselves with as much state-of-the-art equipment as is reasonable to go into a new facility is reflected in this budget. We've had terrific advice and consultation from a couple of our broadcast consultants. Much of this was brought forward in our preparation for submittal of a PTFP facilities grant that WPFW did offer up during the last request for proposals from NTIA. And as you all know, unfortunately, NTIA or PTFP was a casualty of the defunding of public broadcasting. And it was our express hope and determination that in putting together a competitive PTFP grant, we would find our way to some financial relief, at least on the fronts of securing some financial support for acquiring the new equipment to go into the new home of WPFW. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So now we are faced with the reality of having to effectively self-finance the inventory of equipment that's required for the new facility. We scrubbed down, I think, as much as is reasonable to present to you a budget that is reflective of what we feel is necessary to operate the station relative to the required broadcast technology, operational technology. And then finally, this budget also reflects our determination to transition our staff, which has been reduced to half-time status over the last year, to three-quarter status, to three-quarter status compensation for the WPFW salary staff. So I will I will stop here. I know that's a mouthful, and certainly, you know, entertain questions. Robert, if you, I would submit to the committee that I can, we can have our business manager follow up on my comments if you are at this point in time desirous of such. But Robert, if you've got some add-on that you care to offer now, if the committee is so desirous, I would submit that you do so.
Yes, please.
Well, the only thing I guess I would add, John, that you haven't touched on is the programming expenses that we increased. You know, John's desire to possibly acquire programming to improve our programming services is another thing that we added to this particular budget, which we will hope will increase listener support. And that's all I have to add.
Yeah, I if I could extend that, Robert's point. Thank you, Robert. That's an important point. We are desirous of a business plan that does give us the best possible chance to be successful on all of the revenue fronts that we that Bruce and I have spoken about. And obviously the most important is programming, first, second, and first again as it relates to our being able to increase listenership, to increase and to increase membership. Another strategic determination and frankly a requirement is for the station to improve its program schedule. I've been evaluating the current broadcast schedule, and it is, frankly, it's a requirement that it be improved. One of our strategies to do that as quickly as possible is to look at a number of what I'm describing as program acquisitions, and the strategy being that what we are not able to produce ourselves by way of local origination and local production, that there are potential acquisitions that we believe would greatly enhance and improve our program service. And the budget is reflective of an opportunity to provide the station's program schedule program enhancements by way of program acquisition.
Thank you. Robert, is there anything else, or are you ready to take questions at this point?
Ready to take questions.
Okay, then Campbell, we'll just ask if you have anything to add.
Not at this point. No, thanks.
Okay, then I will take a stack from the committee for questions, comments, et cetera.
Marple.
Bill.
Okay.
Bill.
Anybody else? Okay, I heard. Okay. So I heard Arpal, Bill, Jim, and Ken. Is that correct?
You can add Campbell in there.
Okay. So let's start with Arpal.
Okay. First thing is, so this budget was approved by a vote of 9-1 with no abstentions. That's 10, which is not a quorum. Did you have a quorum earlier and it thinned out, or what happened?
Yeah. No, this is Bruce. You know, that's what happened. We had a quorum, but there were a couple people who had to leave early. So we did have a quorum.
Okay. Thank you. With regard to all of this, I understand fully the idea that you have to move and all of that, but I'm a little concerned about a lot of unproven income in the budget. For instance, line 38 is at $400,000, and you haven't done that before, and major donor is going from 78 on line 8 is going from 78 in FY11 to 140 in FY12. Community special events appears to be going from 2,750 in FY11 to 173,720 in FY12, and I'm just concerned about sudden large things. I know something like that is needed in order to break even, but I'm concerned that if we figure we're going to hit that. The thing that always happens is if we have a budget that says we're going to get X amount of income, we start spending X amount of expenses, and if the income doesn't happen, we have big expenses that are debts. And so I'm sort of concerned about this. I understand there's a lot of will and desire to raise larger amounts of money, but I'm wondering what concrete things are being done to make such a huge difference in how much is raised?
Okay, if I can say, let me just say real quick that we're very conscious of that issue, too, of, you know, stating our income goals, and then, you know, if our goal is always to try to be realistic and reasonable. However, what you'll see in this budget is that our expenses, we're up against the wall. The expenses are real. So we're not talking about inflating the revenue numbers just in order to be able to, you know, spend money on a, you know, some kind of a wish list or something. Our revenue goals are a response to the expense issues that we absolutely have to face. But now what I'd like to do is let John or Robert, you know, speak to you specifically about, you know, how the approach to, especially for community events, and why we think we can hit a number like that.
Okay.
John?
John or Robert?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, during the time that I've been here, and some of you know, maybe all of you know, that I started this past January. But we've had some proof of performance. If we just in the context of special events that have as much as possible, as much as and I know that this is a stretch. The station has not, in years past, had a lot of experience in a higher level, as high a level as we are projecting for our revenue enterprise, connected to special events. But we've had some proof of performance on the fronts of doing town hall meetings that have yielded revenue over the last 6 months. We've had some success with the station has had some success with producing commissioning performances, i.e. concerts. The station has had some success in programmer-centric fundraising events, particularly the shows that have our programs that have larger audience based shows. If we're having to essentially turn up the volume on the number of events that we do essentially create a formula for getting greater yield by way of increasing the number of events, and correspondingly, you're right, there will be an increase in the corresponding expense required to make this to bring these events to fruition. But again, there is little recourse because fundamentally we can't put all of the required revenue creation that's going to support the move and everything else that I detailed in terms of the heavy lift that this station is required to perform during this fiscal year. All of that cannot be put on the back of our on-air drive. This station has realized most of its financial treasure and revenue simply and basically connected to the on-air drive. We recognize that it all can't be on the back of the drive. It can't be restricted to the drive. We have to plant a flag in the ground and diversify our revenue enterprises. And, again, this budget is reflective of a requirement to do that.
Okay. At this point, I think we're going to move the stack. So that would take us to Bill.
Barbara for the
okay.
stack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this is Bill Crozier from KPFT. Well, thanks for the work on preparing the budget and for coming to the meeting tonight. I appreciate that. I'd like to echo R. Paul's concerns that without knowing you have some people that have experience in doing that, it's scary to predict increased income no matter how much people want it. I realize that, you have a good reason for people to donate. KPFT, we had a major donor campaign 4 or 5 years ago. None of it was on the air at all. It's all just through major donors to have an upgrade to our transmitter, increase our transmitter power. And we raised over $100,000 from that. But you need a lot more than that, of course. So, I mean, it's possible. But I just want to make sure all the staff knows, and probably your listeners and major donors need to know that if you don't get the money by, in time, whatever it is, early next year, I guess, that, you may be shut down operating out of somebody's garage, and I'm not exaggerating,
sure.
And piping in programming from our other Pacifica stations until the money can come in. They need to know that it's a real serious possibility. I think you could do it. But I also want to encourage you to, for the contracts for your consultants, I do believe this is a good reason for consultants, getting people with real experience doing this, but make their contracts contingent on performance so that you can cut them loose if they don't bring in the money that they claim they can bring in and be able to do that before, 6 months or 9 months have elapsed.
That's a great recommendation. Absolutely right. Thank you.
OK, Okay, we're going to, I'm going to put myself at the very end of the stack, and we're going to move on, I think, to Jim.
Yeah, I just had a couple questions on the capital campaign and the major donor. You're going to have some outside people working in it. Are you going to, are they going to be working with the local station board and volunteers? You're going to try to get listeners involved in
yep.
In this contact with major donors? What kind of mechanism do you have set up specifically for the major donor and the capital campaign?
Yeah, it needless to say, we're all in development. I'm taking a very dedicated and strategic and determined role as the lead major donor chief donor operator. Of course, it is working with and through our development department. We have a newly appointed major donor honorary gifts, honorary major donor chairperson, who is a who has reinvigorated the station with a significant major donation. Major cash donation, and agreeing, this is someone of substantial influence in our community, and we're fortified by his coming on as our honorary chairperson. This is a person who is actually going to be working on the ground with us, with our LSB, with our community advisory board, with station staff, with station volunteers, and with station programmers. He's already cut spots for us that were running on the air. And again, as this, as I described, as an integrated campaign, and by the way, his name is Andy Shalal, and he is totally embedded in our integrated campaign, and so it's in addition to the his work or in commissioning major donor opportunities for us by way of events, special events, by way of his being involved on air. By way of our on-air campaigns and also by way of promotional announcements that he has already performed for us and will continue to perform for us through our entire year's worth of campaign for growth. He will also be involved with us even on the planned giving front. So his commitment and involvement is substantial, as is the entire staff. We are right in front of 2 weeks in front of a station-wide retreat, and obviously a huge focus of this retreat is to fortify the staff for this move forward next year, with particular attention to our fundraising requirements. And that's the LSB, the Community Advisory Board, general station volunteers, station non-paid staff, including our programmers and obviously our station paid staff. We have the terrific benefit of having some consultant services that have come to us recently in the area of fundraising. We are the station is newly renewed in our participation officially now. With the Development Exchange, DEI. We're back in, officially in the DEI fold and have gotten a commitment from the DEI administration that they stand fully with us as we move forward this year with, and their commitment is all manner of consultant services and providing us resources and expertise as we map out our campaign for growth. We are newly engaged in an organization called the Association of African American Public Radio Stations, and this organization provides consultant services, especially in the area of fundraising for designated African American or public radio, community radio stations that have the CPB designation as serving African American, substantial African American audiences. We're newly renewed in as a member of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, and we have to our benefit the president of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, Maxie Jackson, who is a member of our, who lives in our community and has committed to this station his weigh-in on our efforts moving forward this year, given all of our heavy lifts. And so we're fortified on several important fronts, that all this to say that we're fortified on several important fronts, that our efforts by way of our plans and priorities centered up on fundraising will be buoyed by partners, strategic partners.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Is your target going to be current and prior donors, or are you going to broaden that out to people that may not even know your station exists?
Yeah, we are broadening that out. A strategic objective coming in the door that I recognize is that this station really has to do a better job of extending, raising our profile. And so, yes, to answer your question, we are certainly in the hunt for a new and diverse audience. And that goes right to our business plan of improving our broadcast schedule. But our determination is to get outside of D.C. proper. A dilemma for this station is that so much activity, particularly along the line of special events and promotional enterprise, has been limited to D.C. Proper. And we're recognizing that, based upon our signal strength, it is to our great benefit to get outside of the city proper and introduce ourselves by way of special events, by way of community engagement activities, to areas that have not really enjoyed our presence in the recent past or in the past period.
Right. Those are some good ideas.
Okay. So with that, we're going to move the stack on to Ken.
I was on the stack too, please.
Yes, you are.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ken Campbell, Barbara.
Thank you very much for the presentation and response to the questions. It's very eloquent and learned and creative answers. I wish you the best of luck. I just had two questions. One is the station move in the middle of 2012, and is that going to disrupt your activities? And two, how many days of fund drive did you have in 2011? And how many do you plan in 2012?
Thanks. Two great questions. Our determination is that the move be as to be as least disruptive as possible. I'm not an engineer, but I've got great confidence in the engineering consultants that we currently have. I have direct and experience with. We have two engineering consultants. One is a locally based Washington, D.C. area engineer by the name of Dennis Wallace, who is a dean of engineering, broadcast engineers, and regarded highly in the broadcast engineering community. Dennis has consulted for a number of public and commercial broadcasters and has over the recent years been a key consultant for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, for PBS, and for NPR. And we've got great confidence in Dennis's ability to provide us expertise that's going to make the move as less disruptive as absolutely possible. It's a bit difficult to say at what level disruption will be. I think it's reasonable to consider that there will be some, but it's our effort to minimize it. Dennis has had experience in this, and so, I'm basing my confidence on his experience. We've got another consultant by the name of Jim Shadler. Jim comes to us by way of Denver, Colorado. Jim is one of the country's foremost station broadcast integrators, technical integrator is a person who plots out the acquisition as well as the actual placement, and then then confirms the operation of new inventory of equipment. I've had the great fortune of working with Jim on station integration in the past, and he's brilliant. And again, so my confidence is fortified by his experience, not only to secure and affect a least disruptive operation, and I've seen him in action do this, but also part of Jim's brilliance is to consult with and work with a station to secure equipment at the best possible market rate, below market rate, and I've seen him in action do this. And so when I mentioned that our prospectus for the cost associated with the move, including the cost for the equipment, is scrubbed down. Well, it's scrubbed down based upon what I consider two expert scrubber-down consultants. These guys really know their business. And we're lucky to have them as consultants, and we're additionally blessed by way of Jim's participation. Jim has given us a huge amount of help already, gratis, pro bono, and it's based upon his fundamental commitment to community broadcasting. And, he has also quickly taken on a commitment to the mission of WPFW. And I'm sorry if my answer was so long that I forgot your second question.
Okay, thank you for the answer. The question was, how many days of fund drive have you had or, are targeted for 2011, and how many will you target for 2012?
Right. I have to do a quick look on the number of days for 2011. As I mentioned, for 2011 we did three full fund drives, and there was a mini drive. Robert, you're going to have to help me out here.
I think we budgeted
days.
For 53 days.
Mm-hmm.
And 11, and we're probably budgeting about 75 and 12.
Well, I just have to make a comment. Pardon me. KPFK did 93 days in 2010. So at 53 days, I don't suggest going over that, but there's at least a margin for emergencies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I might, I would also want to make mention of the fact that we do have the $200,000 donation that was given us several years back, and that $200,000, it's our determination to use that, to leverage that $2,000 to the greatest extent possible. That $200,000 will also be leveraged during our on-air campaign in the context of a challenge opportunity that would be that we're intending to embed in the on-air campaign as well as off-air. This, on some respects, takes on the beginnings of a capital campaign. There is some elements that are embedded in our campaign for growth that do resemble, that are emblematic of a capital campaign. I do need to mention that there will be a, as much as anything, as important as it is, a case statement that we're drawing together that gives this year-long campaign for growth a focus, a narrative, a touchstone that and whose appeal will be directed to our, obviously to our listeners and our current members, does tell a story that will, in effect, support our tell the story of our mission, but also be able to break out the requirement, particularly for this year, as it relates to the heavy lifts that we're having to perform.
Okay, we're going to move the stack. It goes Campbell and then Barbara. So Campbell, you're next.
Okay, thank you. I was unable to make the last board meeting. I have a close family member who's in the hospital with a collapsed lung, and that's been, quite a lot to engage. And so that had been a difficulty. Let me ask several points. First, the FY11 figures, are they actual or are they budget?
Budget.
Okay, so we're looking at budget on budget, right?
Yes.
Okay. In regard to, there are a couple of points. John, you had mentioned a business plan, and I know that there's a PTFP proposal previously, and I was wondering could I, get a copy of each of those. I'm on the relocation committee, and they would be very important things to have.
Well, the business plan I mentioned, Campbell, is in process. I didn't mean to misrepresent this, but our business determination, our business plan, is based upon improving our broadcast schedule. And so I the point that I'm trying to make is our business plan is predicated on, as much as anything, improving our product, improving our broadcast schedule. So I don't have a written document to hand over, but thank you for the question because it does go to an important point. This station has not had the benefit of a strategic plan in many, many, many years. And the retreat that I mentioned that's coming up in a couple of weeks is a prelude to the station's developing our strategic plan. And over the next months, we will be working on the development of our strategic plan. I think that goes right to your point. The business plan will be derivative of our strategic plan.
Okay. see. I guess with the other questions, I mean, there's some major kinds of increases, and I'm a bit concerned that, you know, we're looking at budgets over budgets, and you know, what the actual experience was. I can recall one thing several years ago. We had proposed, or there was a proposal in terms of our budget to make $93,000 off of the duck race, and it ended up costing us $30,000. And, you know, it shouldn't have happened that way, but I would hope that, you know, now with tighter management and whatnot, we won't have the kinds of slips that we had previously. And I'm going to be sharing some information with you, John, on in regard to that, to help us not, you know, have the same problems as previously. So that would be it for present. Thank you.